1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
You know, Saturday, I didn't mention this. Saturday, we went out, Marie and I, to the beach, and we had lunch. We didn't have the kids on Saturday. The kids were scattered with friends and other family members, and so we had one of those Saturdays where there was no family responsibility, and I like to drive. I like to get in the car and go. This is a great vacation for me. Get into the car and just drive thousands of miles. Stop at hotels along the way and just drive. I don't need to necessarily fly to another country, although that's cool to go to another country, rent a car. I could just leave L.A. and just go out into the desert, just keep driving for miles. I just dig that. And nobody else in my family is into that. I grew up with my family, you know, the family I grew up with, the ones that my mother and father had, the other people that, okay, that one. That was what my old man would do on a Sunday. Let's take a drive. And so it became a part of who I am. I like to get in the car and I like to just go and I like to stop and I like to see stuff and just cornball stuff, you know, like the Bulletin Split Pea restaurant up there. And let's just go and get some split pea soup. Well, what do you want to go? I want to go in. I've always seen the sign. I always wanted to go in. Nobody ever let me go in. Now I'm an adult. I get to go in. I'm going in. And you drive by, and, you know, and there's an ostrich burger place. You know, let's go get one. Oh, I don't think we. Come on. What are you? Is it going to kill you? Look, we'll sue him. Sure, I'll sue some guy that owns an ostrich burger shack. You'll never make another ostrich burger again. You know, let's go in and do it. Come on. And, you know, you go out and it just kooky stuff like Bible Land, which is out there near Banning. Some guy in a broken wicker chair and sort of a little pork pie hat just kind of rocking back and forth. And, hi, I'd like to see, all right, Bible Land, be $5. I'll take you on the tour or you can self-tour, whichever you'd like. And it's a guy who's just got this place. He's got a vacant lot that he started digging tunnels and putting up little things. It's called Bible Land. It's cheesy. It's like $3. I don't even know if it's still there. And I'll stop at the Indian casino, throw some money into the video poker. What's the big deal? See, that's the whole thing with my wife. Maria and I are very opposite. And that's one of the reasons why I think our marriage is successful. Because we don't like a lot of the same things. Now, we do like a lot of the same things. We like the beach. We like to chill at the beach. We like to toss back a couple of margaritas, and we like to, you know, we like to travel a little bit. But I dig going into the casinos. She hates gambling. She hates it. She despises it. To the point where if I'm playing poker with the kids, just for penny-ante poker with the kids, she really looks down on it. She frowns on it. No gambling in this house. We're playing for pennies, honey. I don't care. Well, look, I mean, look, we'll just play for fun. Even if it's for fun. You know, so it's just things that she doesn't dig. But I like to drive, and on Saturday, she says, come on, can we just take a drive? She says, sure. Got in the car, went down to PCH. And I figured what we did. Oh, I had to go into Santa Monica for something, so then we came home by way of PCH. Well, it's a really cool drive. Anybody that lives in Los Angeles, not to talk about L.A. right now, and I don't mean to say this. I don't know how to say this. So I'm just going to have to spit it out. Living at the ocean is the only way that I'll ever live. I won't live inland. I've lived inland. I lived in Atlanta. God bless you guys in Atlanta. Beautiful city. I lived in the Twin Cities. I lived in the Midwest. And without an ocean nearby for me to go to and just breathe and just stand and look and know that there isn't a country called America across that ocean, but it's another land that I can get, sort of let my imagination get lost in what's over the horizon. Without that, then, have you ever heard of Ed Gein? He was a man that made a mask out of a woman's flesh and hung her upside down in a barn. Well, a lot of that begins to make sense to me. No, I'm only kidding, but you see what I'm saying? There's a reason Ed Gein came from Wisconsin. Why? There wasn't an ocean nearby. I gotta have an ocean. I'll never live inland again. And nobody will ever tell me that living inland is great, because I know it's not. If you've lived at the ocean, and then you move inland, and you say that's better, you need to see the same doctor that Andrea Yates is now currently consulting with, because there may be potential child drowning in your future. I don't know, but you know what? It's impossible to imagine. It's a beautiful place to live. So, and driving up PCH on a Saturday afternoon and popping into a couple of joints is nothing better for me. This is what I dig. So we stopped off at Moonshadows. Great little place there on the beach. Teresa, just wanted to say hi to Teresa and the gang at Moonshadows. She's a fan of the show, and she said, be nice to us. And I will. We only had to wait 15 minutes for service. I'm kidding. No, it was very nice. And we had a couple of pops and had a salad, and there's the ocean. It's a beautiful thing. Then we went up the coast to Duke's. Duke's another great place. They got the Barefoot Bar there. You go in. They got a bar there at Duke's where you can just, it's sand, and just take your shoes off, go in. Go up the Chart House or something. I don't know. But it's cool. And the thing about living at the ocean, and here is where I guess I'm going to sound very provincial, and I don't mean to, but there is a difference between California ocean and, let's say, Florida ocean. Florida, it's an ocean because it's got salt in it and those big fish that can only live in salt water. But other than that, you don't have that dramatic surf that you've got in California, like that Alfred Hitchcock surf. You know, that kind of crashing waves, that Key Largo thing, even though that is Florida, but they had to film it in California. You know, that real dramatic hurricane surf with the waves crashing on the rocks as if a murder has just been committed in the old house on the top of the cliff there with the lighthouse going, and there's a guy with a pipe going, haven't seen it like this in years. Sounds like a nor'easter's coming through. No doubt about it. You know, and there's a body somewhere. That's the kind of dramatic coast that we've got here. And on a winter day, like it was on Saturday, a beautiful winter day where we had a really nice sunshine. You know, it was like 85 degrees, man. It's fantastic. You know, you're digging this. And it was that moment when I said to my wife, I said, I will never, ever again move away from the ocean. I don't care if we're going to live, we can live in Maine, Oregon, the Hawaii. I don't care, you know, the coast of Sierra Leone, but I got to be near the big, bad El Pacifico or a reasonable facsimile of that. Because, hey, just a little side note, a footnote to all of my friends in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, lakes don't count.
Well, we have beautiful Lake Malak. What about Lake Superior? It's a big, cold sewer.
Lake Superior? What are you kidding? I look across the Pacific and it's like China. I look across Lake Superior and it's Michigan. I don't care whether Gordon Lightfoot wrote the whole, the great lake they call Gitche-Gumee. That wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, I got that swinging. Because every time they'd all say the same thing. You know, oh, we have our 10,000 lakes. And it's a lake. It's water I can drink with dumb fish. One of the things about the ocean, and this is true, saltwater fish are smarter than freshwater fish. How do I know this? Look at the eyes of a saltwater fish. They move around. They take in things, don't they? Have you ever seen the eyes of any saltwater fish? They kind of look around. A manta ray, honest to God, I know they're laughing at me, but I went down to a place in the Cayman called Stingray City, Cayman Islands. And Stingray City is a place that the Portuguese sailors would anchor, and they would they didn't necessarily chum, but they would throw their garbage into the water there. And as a result, stingrays would collect there over the years, to the point now where this place off of the coral reef in the Caymans is filled with black stingrays. Now, this is, by all appearances, a fierce animal, but in point of fact, it is a gentle, beautiful creature. And it even is intelligent enough probably to keep as a pet, because the manta ray has got skin like a chamois. It's just the softest skin. And when you stand in the water with these stingrays, these manta rays swimming around you, is a stingray and a manta ray the same thing? They may be different. I don't know. They swim up against you, and they rub up against you, and they're beautiful creatures. And if you hold a piece of fish in your hand, they'll come out of the water and take it right out of your hand. They won't bite you. They won't hurt you. I've stood in the water with hundreds of manta rays just swimming around, and they're gorgeous animals. And they're beautifully graceful animals, and they will. If you hold a piece of fish there, they'll come and they'll take it right out of your hand. The only way those things will stick a spike in you is if you step on them. They got a spike they'll nail into your leg about 3 inches deep, and it don't feel too good. My brother was in the Navy in San Diego and got one of those. He had his leg in a, his leg was bandaged for weeks. But the reason why I say that, this is a smart creature. Now, I ask you, what freshwater fish has got brains enough not to eat its own crap? The dumbest, trout, salmon, I don't care. Yeah, they're great to catch, great to cook. That's the only good that them fish in the lakes are good for. Catch them and eat them, because they're about as stupid as they get. That's why I think a guy that, for instance, fishes saltwater is a better fisherman than a guy that fishes in the freshwater. Saltwater fish, they're smart. They're not dumb like Fredo. They're not dumb like those freshwater fish. Like, the freshwater fish are like Fredo in The Godfather. I'm smart! I'm not dumb like people say! No, you're dumb. So I guess I just sort of launched into that to say that it's great to live at the ocean. If you get a chance, live at the ocean. Just don't come to California. And another thing, well, there's a lot of us here. And you can take your lake living and you can stuff it. How about that? With all due respect to my very dear, sweet friends in the Midwest, no, I don't want to come visit this summer for opening day. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I got to tell you where we're going. I didn't want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. I had to turn in all of my deposit bottles. I had to sell at least 4 quarts of blood a day. I had to take a job at night bagging groceries at the Vons. I had to sell, you know, family heirlooms, but we finally got up enough money, and we're going to go on vacation very shortly before the start of the spring book to, are you ready for this? Fiji. Now, what is Fiji? I don't know. I have no idea. But does it sound cool or what? See, most people, they go somewhere, they've investigated it, and they know a little bit about the culture. I wouldn't know Fiji from Catalina Island. All I know is Fiji sounds cool. Now, the only other thing I know about Fiji is something I learned from a really great movie called The Bounty with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson, in which Captain Bly tells his crew that we will be going by the Fiji Islands where cannibalism is practiced to a fine art. That's the other thing that I know about Fiji. And then the other thing that I know about Fiji is that the people there supposedly are the sweetest, friendliest people on Earth. Maybe they got that way luring people into a soup pot. I don't know, but I know they don't do that anymore down there. So we're going to go to Fiji. And why are we going to go to Fiji, man? There's plenty of ocean there. There's plenty of beach there. See, that's to me, that's living. I don't know any other way to live. I got so homesick for the beach when I lived elsewhere in the United States that I thought I was going to cry. I mean, I thought in fact, I'm pretty sure I did cry at least once living out there, wherever it was, when I was away from home for about, I left California about 1992. And I'd started my talk radio career in Ventura, and then I left California, and between 92 and about 1996, I was living back east and in the Midwest. And I know at least once I wept looking at my predicament. And I'll never forget walking down a street in St. Paul, Minnesota in the middle of February. And I remember the year, it was early 94, and I looked in the mirror, I looked in a window, and the reflection was of myself wearing a big down jacket with one of those big fur Russian hats, and I remember thinking, I gotta get out of here, man, I gotta get out of here. Even if it means I take a job on a cruise ship, if I get out of radio and I start working in a car wash, I have gotta get out of here. And within a month, I was gone. I was in Miami. And I remember I got to the beach in Miami and I stayed there for 2 days just to warm up. I didn't go inside. I slept on the beach for like 2 days. I just, you know, walked down to a liquor store and got food and came back to the beach. And that's for 2 days I stayed there because I was so, I needed to thaw out so badly. So that's why Marie and I are going to go to Fiji. And she says to me, well, wow, that sounds really great. What is it, something you want to do? Well, I want to go to Fiji. I don't want to go to Tahiti. I want to go to Fiji. Well, what about Tahiti? I hear that's really romantic. I don't want to go to Tahiti. First of all, Tahiti is in a place called French Polynesia. Accent on French. No thank you. Secondly, Fiji is just its own country, right? And I understand they almost had a coup down there about a year ago, and apparently they chilled that out. The guy's on trial now, so there seems to be a little bit of political unrest. I don't welcome that, but it, you know, it's kind of, you know, there might be some things to learn, some things to see. I don't know. So we're going to go there, and, you know, we're going over the international dateline. I've been on the phone, and I've been on the internet, and I've been going to websites, and I've been looking up weather, and then, you know, just looking, trying to find out about the country. And my wife is totally jazzed. She's found out more about Fiji than I have. She said, oh, it's really cool. You know, well, what do they got? Well, they have these sarongs that you wear, and they have this kind of food, and, you know, they drink rum, and they have and the variety of islands. And, geez, I don't know anything about that. It was my idea to go there. She goes, yeah, well, maybe what you ought to do, Henry, is get your face out of that plate of pasta, go into the computer, and start doing a little bit of work on behalf of this team here. So that's my affinity for the ocean. And I don't know, like I said, it's fine. You want to live inland, you live inland. You want to live there in the next to the lake, you go right ahead. But you ain't going to convince me it's better. And I realize I got a little bit overboard there when I said, and look at how stupid freshwater fish are. Well, who's going to get passionate about that? Me. Fresh water. I don't. The point being that it just, everything seems to be better over there. All right. Now, I mentioned Russell Crowe, and I don't know how much money this guy is paying to keep his name in the news, but whoever his publicist is, this guy deserves a raise. Russell Crowe now is back in the news because he roughed up some guy at the British Academy Awards because the guy decided to cut Russell Crowe's acceptance speech for Best Actor because Russell Crowe wasn't giving a speech, he was reading a poem, and the director, and rightfully so, said, okay, just go ahead and go to black on this, Eddie, and let's go to the dog food commercial. So Russell Crowe went up and was accepting his Best Actor Award for Beautiful Mind. And instead of just saying, thank you very much, I want to thank my wife, and all of the things that people do, he started to read a poem. Well, as you know and as I know, as we all know in the civilized world, nothing is more dull than that. So the director, making the right call, decided to cut to an adult diaper commercial, which is far more compelling than Russell Crowe standing there. And by the way, he's a great actor, and he's going to deserve, if he gets the Beautiful Mind Award, he's going to deserve it. I mean, it's a great movie, okay? But that's the guy on the film, see? And this is what I've always been telling you. There's a big difference between the artist and the man. And let's just talk about the artist and the man. Let's just, if you've got a clip for your nose, we can get a little clothes peg for our nose and just move on. Now, Russell Crowe is a great actor, but the man appears to be some kind of a punk. That's the best as I can make out. He's just sort of this side of punk. He's on his way to manhood, but he's just passed out of the Neolithic period we called punk. Now, most humans evolved out of that some. The last punks were about 3,000 years ago. They were snivelly-nosed and they started bar fights, but they died out. Russell Crowe seems to be the last of the punks, and he's roughing up some guy backstage, and here's the part that I got to admire. He did it while two of his security men were standing there, so that's pretty good. You got to admire the balls of a man who pushes somebody around while two of his security men stand there in case the guy actually has the audacity to fight back. And he said something like, you'll never... Oh, this is the great line. I'll make sure you'll never work in Hollywood. And the guy that he said that to kissed him. All right, Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Actor Russell Crowe exploded with rage and pinned a television executive against a wall at the BAFTA Awards dinner. The trouble started when Crowe discovered that the poem he had recited as part of his Best Actor acceptance speech had been cut by the BBC. The burly actor targeted the show's director, Malcolm Jerry, at the After Awards dinner at the Grosvenor House Hotel. Mr. Jerry was talking to rock star Sting when he was approached by two of the actor's security men. They escorted him to a storage room where the actor was reportedly awaiting. After quizzing Mr. Jerry on his previous projects, including the Brit Awards and The Tube, Crowe reportedly launched into an abusive and personal tirade against the businessman. The Sun claimed today that Crowe slammed Mr. Jerry against the wall and jammed his finger into his chest before warning, "I don't give an F who you are. Who on earth had the effing audacity to take out the Best Actor's poem, you effing piece of S? I'll make sure you never work in effing S-ing Hollywood again, you effing S-MF." Mr. Crowe then went on to say, "You miserable little F, well, I bet you take it in the A." Sting, who was dining at the same table as Crowe, told a BBC reporter, "Oh, that effing..." No, he didn't. He had warned Mr. Jerry that the actor was furious at him over the excised acceptance speech.
"I say, Mr. Jerry, Russell Crowe is nonplussed about what you did with his speech. I don't doubt that there'll be some fireworks, eh, what, there in the storage closet where he awaits with his two security men."
He was waiting in a storage closet. You know, it just doesn't pay to be in show business if you've got psychos like this waiting in a storage closet and the security guys come up to you. "Well, Mr. Crowe would like to see you in his bedroom, in the toilet." What if Russell Crowe's security guys came up to you and said, "Mr. Crowe would like to talk to you in the toilet. Would you mind?" Jesus, as much as I'd like to meet the guy, as much as I'd like to meet any of these guys, the minute two of his security guys, "Are you Phil Hendry?" "Yeah." "Yeah, Mr. Crowe would like to talk to you in a storage closet." No, I don't want to go there. "I thought you said you wanted to meet him." No, I'm not going to go there. "Come on. No, come on. No, please. Help." I don't care how big of a fan. You know, you could be the president. You could be the number one fan of Meg Ryan. "Mr. Hendry, yeah, I'm with the Miss Ryan security detail. Yeah. She'd like to talk to you in a service porch, please. Would you come with me?" "No, I don't want to come." "Oh, don't you think she's beautiful? Wouldn't you like to have sex with her?" "No, I wouldn't." "Come on, no! How about you? Who do you want to meet, man? Just name anybody. Name the number one artist in the world that you'd like to meet. Roger Waters. Roger Waters. What if his two security guys came to you and said, "Mr. Waters would like to speak to you privately in a enclosed toilet." You're going to say, "Not a chance, Jim. I ain't going with you. I don't care how long I've waited to meet Roger Waters." And they don't call him Waters for nothing. The Port-a-John. I'm sure, you know. "Yes, Mr. Hendry, yeah. I understand you like women's asses. That's kind of a... Well, so, yes, I do. Well, Jennifer Lopez would like to talk to you in that Port-a-John. I don't think I want to go. Come on, she's just finished up, and she'd like to have a word with..." "No, I don't want to go. No, please, no!" A BAFTA source told the Evening Standard there was some trouble with Russell. When he was at the after-dinner party, one of the people who had seen the BAFTA broadcast came up to his table and told Russell that some of his speech had been cut. Some sycophant hanger-on who wanted to ingratiate themselves with Mr. Crowe, even if it meant getting the crap kicked out of an innocent man, came up to Russell and said,
"They cut some of your speech, Russell."
An individual that Mr. Crowe barely knew. Later, Malcolm was talking to Sting, who told him, "Russell Crowe is after your blood." After the actor's outburst, DreamWorks, the company behind Crowe's most recent film, A Beautiful Mind, apologized to Mr. Jerry, who is chief executive of the production firm Initial. The source added, "He did not hit Malcolm, but he did shake him up a bit. He held him up against a wall." Later on, one of Russell's people contacted Malcolm to apologize. Well, that's just great. That's fantastic. One of his people called to apologize. Oh, that's, see, that makes it all good. It's all fine now because one of his people called to apologize. Hello, Mr. Jerry. Yeah. Hey, I'm the guy that cleans the bacon strips out of Mr. Crow's underwear. Yeah. I just want to apologize to you on behalf of Mr. Crow. Okay. Well, I got to get back to scrubbing his underwear out now. Okay. Bye. Goodbye. Well, that changes everything, doesn't it? You know, tell Mr. Crow I'm not going to sue now. All right. By the way, have you ever met Mr. Crow?
Well, not really. I just scrubbed the toilet. I got to go now.
Okay, thank you. He did not hit Malcolm, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Earlier in the evening, Crow had chosen a poem, Sanctity, by Patrick Kavanaugh, to read out when he collected his award at the Odeon. Apparently, Crow knew that he was a shoo-in to win the Best Actor Award. When someone said to him, why are you choosing a poem to read? You haven't even won the award yet. He said, I'm Russell Crowe. Of course I've won. Organizers had warned stars to keep their acceptance speeches short due to lack of time, but they said Russell Crowe was an exception. He could talk forever and ever and ever, and everyone would just be fascinated with what he had to say, even if he talked for hours reading out of the phone book, end quote. When the ceremony overran, the actor's poem was among a number of celebrity speeches that ended up on the cutting room floor. However, Crow is believed to be the only star to have complained about this. A spokesman for Initial said, well, as you know, Russell is a famous turd. Most of you only see him in his movies, A Beautiful Mind, and of course that beautiful performance that he did in the other thing, Gladiator. But in point of fact, Russell in real life is a walking human excrement. The outburst followed an evening of high-voltage appearances from celebrities ranging from Nicole Kidman and Sissy Spacek to Warren Beatty and Anna Friel. All right, let's get your comments on this. 1-800-449-8686. Don't you think that he went overboard on that? I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I could get fired for the things I'm going to say on this radio show right now. And let me tell you something right now. Just because I broadcast in Hollywood doesn't mean I'm beholden to the sacred cow of Hollywood. And I'm going to go out on a limb now. I'm going way out on a limb. I could be fired for the things I'm going to say right now, but I'm telling you, I'm sick of it. I think Russell Crowe behaved maybe, he could have been nicer. Folks, this is Colonel Buck Negro, and I tell it like it is. You see, this program isn't bought and paid for by the liberal interests, and I certainly don't cotton to the liberal sacred cow of Hollywood. Colonel Buck Negro, with 20 years of military experience and another 20 working behind the broadcast microphones of a variety of media interests in the United States, doesn't hold back. And I'm getting pretty sick and tired of people like Russell Crowe and all of his liberal gay friends pushing little people around. What do you think about it? If you've got the guts to call me, Colonel Buck Negro, the prominent and preeminent conservative commentator in America, and disagree with me, I dare you. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Bob, you're on the air with Colonel Buck Negro.
Yeah, Buck, I am totally love your show, but I got to go the other way on this one for just a second.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think that Mr. Crow probably had reason to be upset, given the fact that he had been told he'd be allowed to read that, and then was, of course, cut. I think that's the only thing we're thinking about. If a man is told that he can do the speech and then they cut it, I think it makes him look pretty stupid. So I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, that's I never really went that way with it.
Don't you agree?
Well, I suppose I could. So you think that...
I just think that maybe he was told he could give the speech, and then, of course, he was reasonably upset when it was cut.
Man, I didn't think of it that way.
All right. Well, love your show, Buck. You're the best.
All right. So you see, the guy was told he could read it, and guess what? They pulled a plug on him. But it's just like those limeys to do that to an American actor. Just like the British, who took advantage of our Yankee boys there in World War II, who are seemingly backing us up in Afghanistan, to take the fine, chosen, crafted words of gratefulness from an American actor and cut it completely out of the... What a bunch of fags! Just like the British. Let's go to another call. Eddie, hi, you're on with Colonel Buck Negro. How you doing?
Colonel Negro, you said something that wasn't right.
What's that?
Russell Crowe's from Australia. He's not,
What's that?
You said he's an American.
I thought he was,
No, he
Well, how do you do that, America? Yeah, he's from America, and you just see him in Beautiful Mind. He talked American.
Well, that's an accent. He was doing an accent.
Australian?
Yeah.
Oops.
I like your program.
Okay. He's an Australian. He's an Australian. See? I told you he was Australian. I tried to tell you that Russell Crowe was Australian, but you wouldn't listen to me. All the cards and letters coming in. Hey, man, Russell Crowe's from America. He did that whole thing there in Beautiful Mind and a gladiator accent. Wasn't that a damn American accent, too? Of course it wasn't. He played a wop in Gladiator. This is Colonel Buck Negro. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. On the Phil Hendry Show.
Dittos!
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On yesterday's show, Ted Bell, the voice of Ted Bell performed by Phil Hendry, was complaining about the lack of VIP check-in and how it's going to put a serious crimp in his first-class flying lifestyle.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Okay, I had a point about Ted. And his comments about being checked in VIP first class.
Right, this is Ted Velcaranda.
It's probably going to save your life.
This is Ted Velcaranda.
Yes, Mr. Bell, it's probably going to save your life for them to check everything early ahead of time.
It already saved my life by the fact that they checked everybody in coach. They don't need to check first class.
But having a lot of money doesn't have anything to do with you, someone walking on there with a briefcase and having a bomb in it in first class.
It's far more likely that someone paying a coach ticket's carrying a bomb.
It has nothing to do with the price of money, your life.
Really?
You don't think that you had your parents come on there and change your bottom on the side of people in first class?
Excuse me, Coretta, I paid $10,000 for a round-trip ticket. I don't want somebody up there changing some kid's diaper.
But
well,
you don't
I'm
think the same thing happened when you were a kid and a baby and your parents maybe have changed your diaper next to a person in first class?
My parents were, first of all, I did not soil diapers at the rate most infants did. I was lucky in that regard. I probably only soiled a diaper twice.
You're human, I hope, but
well,
you don't sound
right.
Like you are. But
no,
I think it'll save your life if they would check in everybody beforehand, and it has nothing to do with
Coretta,
the amount of money.
I know you don't believe this. I know
or
you don't.
Anything like that.
I'm
I think
Ted
it'll
Bell.
Save your life.
Coretta,
but if you feel that way about life, then you really don't care to be on the earth. You really
Coretta,
do.
The only people
go up
that
in
are
your house and
board
them up and stay in your house.
All right, but hold on. The only people that are lighting their shoes on fire are sitting back in 48E. They're not sitting first class.
But that doesn't matter
and
about the money that you have. It's about you being them, the
right.
Airports and all of these people being making
right.
you safe when you're flying on that plane,
well, look,
no matter
you,
if you're in first or wherever.
All right, you brought it up. Now, listen, I'm Ted Bell.
What does that matter? It doesn't matter. You're a human being.
I'll tell you what
you
it matters.
Hopefully you when don't sound like
infant,
one.
Well,
speaking of, you really need to buy your own plane.
No, the fact of the matter is, when I was an infant, my mother tells me that I soiled exactly one diaper.
Well, that must make you feel proud, and I'm glad because
I
am
I think
a mother.
It's a very
and
special,
you know what?
I do.
And if I go on first class, it doesn't really matter where I am. If it's okay, you know, that's not a problem to change a diaper in front of somebody.
Well, but, Coretta, you can't use the first class John. You're going to have to use coach because what if I...
You are not God, and you cannot tell me what to use.
Exactly.
You are not my father.
Exactly.
And first of
wait,
need to buy your own plane and fly by yourself.
What if I meet a woman,
that's
and yet the only place we can have sex is near the toilet? and you decide you want to change your kid's diaper and you didn't buy a first-class ticket,
and you think that's okay for you to go in the John and have sex on the plane, but I can't change my child's diaper next to you in first class.
I paid.
You are ridiculous.
No, that is pathetic. Ma'am,
and you really need to buy your own plane and fly with all the women that you may like. Before you get on the plane, you need to bring them all on and have your own plane and fly together.
I paid
then
to have sex.
You won't have any babies on the plane to change any diapers.
Well, ma'am, I paid
it's
to
more
have sex.
That's a natural thing, but it's more sick for you to say
I
to
paid.
Go in the restroom, a John, and have sex on
Absolutely.
The plane when
That's
you have other
point.
People on the first class, in first class, sitting there, and you don't think they know? And
they don't
fair?
Know what? They don't know
but
what?
But it's disgusting. It's not disgusting.
Wait a minute. Nobody knows I'm having sex with a woman
but
in the toilet.
But it's not disgusting to you?
No, because
if
what you
else
do
would
is...
do that in first class to
no,
you?
No, ma'am. What you do is you sit on the toilet, the man does, and the woman straddles...
No, we know how you're doing it.
That's disgusting.
Who cares?
And if someone else did that, I think you would feel really bad and uncomfortable.
If they got, if I had to go, yeah,
no,
I'd knock on the door and I'd just ask him to move. I can... Corinna, I don't
you
care
You have
about...
to be kidding me. You think that's okay?
What is that? The fact
if
that
my,
I
wait.
Say my child go knock on the door and some and you're in there in a john and he asks, hey, it's not locked, and he walks in. Do you think that I'm not going to be pissed?
About what?
You in a john with a lady.
No, what
sex.
I'm saying,
and
what
my
I'm
child,
saying is...
We're in first class and he walks in and that's okay?
No, I'm saying that if I'm in the john having sex with a woman and you need to get in there, okay, if you don't mind me continuing to have sex.
What, with you in there?
Yes, ma'am.
And me walking
and
in there
she's
having, in, using the restroom.
And she needs to use the restroom.
That yeah. is disgusting.
Well, I don't know what
you are. Gonna... You are definitely not a human.
Well, what
and
am
I don't know
to
who
do?
Made you.
I'm
you're not
out.
God, and you don't have the right to say that first class people that you can't get checked. You know, they can, can't
what?
Check you before
who?
You go on that plane and everything
Wait.
Because that's really saving y'all's lives and yours.
Well, I can tell
but
you this.
You must not be human.
I would say this, and I say this with great respect. If you don't mind me having sex with a woman in the john, I wouldn't mind you coming in and changing the diaper of your baby. But you see, they're both similar acts. And
no,
how do you figure they're similar acts?
That's the infant. That's the child. They,
well,
that's
they're both
God's
gross.
Child.
They're both
just
gross.
Like you are God's child, but you act as if you own everybody, but you don't. You
I'm
own
Ted
restaurants.
Bell. I'm Ted
that's
Bell.
It.
I'm
Ted Bell owns restaurants. That's it.
I'm Ted Bell. I'm a
it doesn't head. Matter. There's a lot of people that have a lot of money, but it doesn't matter. You're human like everybody else. That's
well, you
I'm
heard
saying.
That one lady say that
the
she came up and peed on me.
The only point that I want to make is that you are, it's
I'm
to
trying
save your
to say
life,
to you,
and that's it.
It doesn't embarrass me, women peeing in front of me. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't so dare do that.
Well, I'm asking, it's saying,
that's
I'm saying
disgusting.
It's okay.
Why don't you and
just
your
like
group...
having sex in the restroom on the plane is disgusting.
Well, I'm just saying...
We heard you, Ted, and we don't live in the universe you live in.
No.
Where you pick up a woman in first class, go into the can, have sex with her while a woman's trying to change her baby diaper in there. And by the way, how much room is in that, John, in first class anyway?
There's no.
Well, you could take a nap in there. There's.
Yeah, okay, great. Jeez, thank you, Karanda, for
thank
your call.
Thank you.
Oh, so in other words, your baby gets to squeeze a brick out in my John, but I want to have a little relaxation. I can't. Thanks a lot.
Bill Henry. Flashback.
He's sweet, man. Ted Bell, Ted's at Beverly Hills Steakhouse, as performed by Phil Henry. That's the show we do. Phil Henry does the voice of the character, and the people they call, they think that's a real guy. Well, we never mind. I can't explain it. 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com. All that great audio you can get. It's in our archive. You got to be a Backstage Pass member. Sign up for a Backstage Pass. It's only $6.95 a month, but you get all of that audio. You get full shows, our 30-day show archive. You can listen to today's show on demand, and you can even get our webcast archive as well. The webcast we did back in December is right there on philhenryshow.com. Sign up for your Backstage Pass today.